Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. Hebrews 13:6. Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to thee will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Proverbs 1:33. Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34:1. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to James 3:16. James 3:16. You were asked last Wednesday night to pray for Morris Gill. Morris Gill has passed away, and the visitation will be this afternoon. And the funeral service will be at the Navarro Funeral Home in the morning at 10 o'clock. I would encourage you to pray for the Morris Gill family. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Our study comes today from James 3:16. The subject of the first service this morning was God's plan for understanding. This service, we deal with the subject of uncertainty generates instability. Uncertainty generates instability. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin the scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. We're thankful, Father, for this day, the opportunity which is ours to turn our attention away from the things of the world and focus our minds upon those things which are eternal. We're your children, saved by your grace. We have a wonderful opportunity as we live from day to day to keep our priorities straight, to focus upon those things which are meaningful and try to ignore those things which are less meaningful, those things which are insignificant, unimportant in life. Help us to give attention to those things which relate to that which is eternal. We're only here for a few years at the longest, and so help us to be keenly aware of the fact that life is a gift from God. The opportunity to grow is also a magnificent gift. May we not be indifferent or filled with lethargy in relationship to our Christian advance and Christian growth. May we not allow anything to keep us from being what we ought to be in these brief years that you have us on the earth. And we know that there are many distractions, many things that happen to us in life. And when we analyze these things, we realize how insignificant they are compared to eternity. And so help us to keep our focus clear, our priorities straight. And we thank you today again for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking at James 3:16. You see it on the screen. For where jealousy and rivalry, envying are, there is tumult, confusion, and every worthless, evil work. We've already analyzed the first part of this verse. We come now to the last part of James 3:16. It's interesting to me that I find a lot of things that people say. Some of those things are biblical. Some of those things are right. Some of those things are far-fetched. And even though they're interesting, they're far-fetched. One particular person said, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Have you ever noticed how oftentimes people are pointing out the faults of others when in reality it may be the fault of the person who's pointing out the faults of others? Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. Someone else said, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. But it takes character and self-control to be understanding and forgiving. Any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain. But it takes character and self-control to be understanding and forgiving. Someone said, all truths are easy to understand once they're discovered. The point is to discover them. Now I want to analyze that thought for just a moment. It says all truths are easy to understand once they're discovered. The point is to discover them. You and I have the responsibility of learning God's Word and discovering many magnificent, beautiful truths. If you would look this up on the internet, you will discover under Grace Bible website a number of subjects. We need to put additional subjects there. We have probably less than 100. We could put and need to put up to about 300 subjects there. You and I need to take advantage of those. What you can do is look them up, print them out, and then use those on your daily Bible study. Everyone should study God's Word on a daily basis. If I had my way, I would have all of you come together to meet with me every day. Every single day. And I would enjoy that. Because I would enjoy communicating continually, verse by verse, subject by subject, and have you with me for a period of time. In the time in which we live, that is impossible. Communication is not possible from traveling from various places here. I cannot do that, and you cannot do it, and I understand that. Years ago, we had 6 sessions per week, if you remember. In 1975, when we started Grace Bible Church, we had 6 sessions per week. We only have 3 sessions per week now. Which simply means that I would encourage you to take advantage of what you do have available to you so that you can utilize truth on a daily basis. If you don't already have a system by which you study each day, I would encourage you to do that. Find yourself to the internet, to the subjects that are listed there, and take a subject per day or a subject per week, whatever you want to do, and study God's Word consistently. Truths can be understood when we've discovered them, but I believe oftentimes people don't discover the truths because they are not perceptive or desire to find them. So this person is right. All truths are easily understood once they're discovered. The point is we're to discover them. And then someone said, everyone hears only what he understands. Everyone hears only what he understands. You think about that. Everyone hears only what he understands. I'm continually challenged. After all these many years of communicating, I am continually challenged. Because I have responsibility to deal with God's Word and presenting it to you in such a manner that wherever you are in your Christian advance, that you'll be able to receive. I'm aware of the fact that some of you have been studying God's Word for many, many years. And I'm aware that when I deal with you in teaching, you're saying, give me some steaks, give me some steaks, give me some steaks. And while you're sitting there saying, give me some steaks, there's someone sitting near you saying, let me suck the bottle, please. Let me suck the bottle, please. And now how do I handle that? Do I give the bottle or do I give the steaks? You see what I'm saying? So there's a continual challenge. One is, I want to present God's Word in such a manner that profound truths of the Word can be presented to you in a simple fashion, so that it's not over your head. It's not something you're going to say, well, I don't understand what he's saying, and so I'm going to just kind of tune out, and I'll take my vacation while he's preaching, and when he gets to something I can understand, I'll come back off my vacation. I'm talking about being in the auditorium on vacation. I know your minds can travel all over the place. You may be cooking your next meal. You may be planning what you're going to have to eat tonight. Some of you are planning what you're going to be doing during the week. And you do that at my time. While I'm communicating, you're sitting there and your mind is all over the place. You're traveling. It's Honolulu or whatever. Anahuac or somewhere. You're traveling. Your mind is off on the tracks somewhere. Here I am trying to be simple and profound at the same time. All right, so much for that. Would you do me a favor and now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. On the screen you see James 3:16. The last part of the verse says, every worthless work. Every worthless work. But I want you to look, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 1. And let's begin with verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation. We analyzed this just for a little bit this morning, and I asked you the question, what did the Apostle Paul pray for in this passage of Scripture? What do we pray for in relationship to our loved ones? We should be praying for their advance in God's grace, because this passage of Scripture says wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says prayer for Christian advance. This introduces a purpose clause. Prayer for Christian advance. Each phase of God's plan is recognized in this passage of Scripture. It starts off by saying, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We enter God's plan through Jesus Christ. The word Lord emphasizes deity. The word Jesus emphasizes humanity. The word Christ emphasizes His divine commission. He's the anointed one, the appointed one. If you're looking carefully at Ephesians 1:17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you'll look at that expression, the Father of glory, the Greek word there is doxa, D-O-X-Z-A. What God is like. This reveals the purpose of the believer's life on earth. The child of God is to be to the super praise of the Master. Ephesians 1:12. When glory is in the soul, glory will come to magnify the members of the Godhead. There has to be glory in the soul before there can be glory manifesting the members of the Godhead. In order that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give, it says, to you, give to you the spirit of wisdom. Let's stop for just a second or two there. May give is a particular word in the original language, which means a desire to give. It is the optative mood. The spirit is a human spirit. Wisdom is Sophia. This refers to the stacking of the bricks of biblical concepts. The accumulation of biblical concepts. There are many, many spiritual subjects We deal with the Scripture exegetically. We deal with the Scripture categorically. We deal with the Scripture historically. There are many, many biblical subjects. We call these biblical bricks. Many of these biblical bricks come from the Old Testament. So many of them from the New Testament. When we receive these, we understand that someone put it correctly when they said the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. That's a play on words. You can do what you want to with it. But I do believe that when you come to the study of the New Testament, you'll find many, many Old Testament passages revealed. So we study not only the New Testament, we do study the Old Testament. We come to the point where we have what is known as epinosis. That's what is revealed here in the word Sophia, wisdom, which simply means that we have the ability to receive God's word, understand it, metabolize it, utilize it, and apply it. If you'll notice, it says, in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him. Knowledge is the Greek word here, epinosis, means an understanding that's over and above just normal understanding. If you'll notice the word revelation, apocalypsis, it means from the source of the revelation. And then it says, from the source of Him. We're looking today at an emphasis upon the fact that we do not need to have a life of instability. Uncertainty generates instability. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom, even from the source of revelation, by means of the epinosis, from the source of Him. Look at verse 18 quickly, Ephesians 1:18. I pray, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart, I referred to this in the previous session, I want to refer to it again now. We get the word ophthalmologist from the word eyes. This is the word from which we get ophthalmology. A doctor skilled in the function and disease of the eyes. Eyes spiritually here means perception. It says eyes of understanding. The Greek says the eyes of your cardia. Cardia means the understanding mind. Tais cardia humon. Your heart, the heart of you. Each individual has a heart. The mentality of the soul. The object of studying God's Word then is the fact that your eyes, the eyes of your heart, be perceptive and open and receiving so that you can utilize spiritual truths. I deal with people and I deal with oftentimes death. It's amazing to me to see how people deal with death. I'll go to the funeral home. I'll be in the home of individuals who've lost a loved one. It's interesting to me to see the reaction and the action of individuals when they face a time like this. There's not anything wrong with weeping. There's not anything wrong with being in sorrow. It's normal and natural. It's right. But I want to tell you something. There's something that goes far beyond that, and that is confidence of the soul. An understanding of the future. Confidence in the mind of the fact that this loved one, I deal with this, and they say, isn't he handsome? Isn't she beautiful? Beautiful. That's a corpse. You understand? That's a corpse. Picking up the children. Isn't she beautiful? That's what we know. That's what we've been with. But that person's not there. They're absent from the body at home with the Lord as a believer. You see? Let's look at this thing. I have my own philosophy about how things should be done at funerals. If you want to know, ask me. I have my ideas of what I believe should and should not be done at funerals. But I'm not trying to push what I believe on individuals. When I deal with individuals at funeral services, it's their choice. It's their ideas. That's okay with me. I don't fuss with people. I don't go into a family when they're just in the midst of their sorrow and I say, it ought to be done this way. You ought to have this kind of attitude toward this. No. I'm not going to deal with people that way. That's not right. But I do have my own ideas of what should and should not be done. When a person leaves this life, folks, let me tell you something. They're not in that body. They're gone. I mean, that's the house. That's the tent. That was the abiding place for a little while, a few years. But they're not there. Oh, my. It's wonderful. I've been around people when they had loved ones who were nearing death and they were looking forward with anticipation of their home going. And you would think they were somewhat crazy. But not so at all. Not so at all. Because they knew that it wouldn't be long till their loved one would be out of that body that's suffering and be at ease and at peace and in the presence of the Lord. Now, I didn't have anyone ask me to deal with that. I'm doing that on my own, but I want you to see something. Eyes of your cardia being opened. Eyes, isn't that an interesting word? Ophthalmos. 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 Ophthalmology comes from that. Ophthalmologist comes from that. Eyes here used for perception. Eyes of understanding. Eyes of your cardia. Cardia means the mentality of your soul. When I deal with people in sorrow, I'm able to determine and detect so many times such beautiful attitudes. Beautiful attitudes toward the Lord and toward being in heaven. And they say, it's not going to be long. I'm going to be there. They're looking forward to it. And they know it's going to take place. I mean, even if they lived another 100 years, it's a brief time compared to eternity. So you see, we're not here for long. The object of studying God's Word then is that the eyes of the heart be perceptive. Now let's look at this verse again and see what it says. Verse 18. So that you may know, so that you may know, that you may be enlightened. The word enlightened here is photizo, P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. The word from which we get our English word photo. This word means to have God's Word photographed in your innermost being. Boy, we're living in a fantastic day of photography. I mean, I have a little cell phone and I can take pictures. I mean, that's wonderful. I can take pictures. I could even take a moving picture if I knew how to do it. I could even write you a letter if I knew how to write it. Now, some of these people they're sending text messages and it's work for me, folks. If I get a message from you, the only word you'll get back probably is G-R-E-A-T. Great. That's all I have to say. I'm thankful for what you sent to me, but I don't know how to spend an hour trying to find all those letters. This word photizo means Word of God photographed in your innermost being. But what I'm seeing here is something fantastic. Enlightened emphasizes permanent results of having God's message stored inside on the shelves of information that creates a vocabulary for you that makes it possible for you to utilize truth on a daily basis. You can take that truth that you receive and put it on the launching pad and send it out into life. The launching pad. This word enlightened means the subject receives the action. The subject is the child of God. The perception comes as the believer receives God's message through the system of God's grace. And it's a participle here which sets up a permanent law of God whereby the Scripture is transferred into the innermost part of our being. You see how beautiful this is? God's Word should be established in the innermost parts of our being. Then it goes on to say that you may know. Something that stays is what that means. That you may know. The only way of knowledge of the Word of truth can become fixed inside of us. In other words, it becomes our very life. That you may know. Something that stays. Something that you received in the past. Something that's been settled in your thinking in the past. Something that is very active now. Something that will be usable tomorrow. It's not the word gnosis or gnosko, it's the word oide. That you may grow to maturity. Then it goes on to say, the hope of your calling. The calling speaks of God's plan in our lives. The eyes of your innermost being, having been enlightened, for the purpose that you and I will have permanent knowledge, knowing what is God's calling, what the riches of the glory from the source of the glory of His inheritance. Now, quickly let me draw some conclusions about what we have on the screen. If there's jealousy and envying, there's going to be confusion. And if all of this is taking place in our lives, what's going to happen is we're going to have a very meaningless life. The uncertainty generates instability. I'm sure you know I enjoy these words. And I want you to write down somewhere that last word. The next to the last word is a scripture. P-H-A-U-L-O-N. Which in the original is P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Phalos. And let me explain what that word means. Worthless. Corrupt. Good for nothing. Mediocre. Unimportant. Of no account. Vile. Wicked. Foul. Depraved. Now I've just given you a bunch of synonyms. I'm going to go back and look at those with you for a moment. Worthless is the word that indicates the impossibility of any true gain ever coming forth. In other words, if you're dealing with things that are insignificant, we'll talk about it on Wednesday night. If you're dealing in life with those things which are insignificant, there's not going to be any eternal worth there. Where are we putting our emphasis in life? Phalos is the word which means worthless, corrupt, good for nothing, depraved, mediocre, unimportant. You're not able to take all these words down, but I want you to get a mental picture of what it means. Of no value. Depraved. This Greek word, P-H-A-U-L-O-S, is used six times. John 3:20, John 5:29, Romans 9:11, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Titus 2:8, and then our verse here, James 3:16. This word, P-H-A-U-L-O-S, is used eight times in the Old Testament. Job chapter 6, verse 3, Job 9:23. And then there's a series of these in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to give them to you because it takes time to do this, but Proverbs You can look it up for yourself. That word is used. Phallos is the word which means low grade or mentally substandard. It means base, the very lowest. It means being relatively inferior in quality. It is used by our Lord Jesus Christ in John 3:20. Everyone who does evil, phallos, hates the light, it says in John 3:20. Jesus, in speaking about the resurrection, speaks of phallos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Some will come forth, did good deeds to the resurrection of life. And those who've committed phallos to a resurrection of judgment, John 5:29. Another theologian whom I've studied says primarily this word phallos means trivial. It means slight. It can be described as that which is blown away by the wind. It can be described as common, bad, worthless, contemptible, no true gain. Are you able to see what I'm trying to get over? I'm trying to get over the fact that life is so short. And what are we really emphasizing? Are we emphasizing the things that are valuable? Or are we emphasizing the insignificant things of life? If you're only thinking about your new refrigerator or your new car or some more money in the bank, let me ask you something. Are you going to take that with you when you leave this life? I can just see you now trying to get that refrigerator into that coffin. Or take that money and put it into the... Loved ones, put the money in the casket, please. Well, it's not going to go anywhere down in the ground. I tell you what, do. If anyone puts cash in the casket, take it out. Write a check. Put the check in there. Don't y'all love my sense of humor? Worthless, insignificant, base. In other words, the uncertainty generating instability. People are always emphasizing things. If you're emphasizing things all the time, that's all you're going to have, things. This says, I pray that your eyes will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. One last word. Man, look at this. The last word on the screen is pragma, P-R-A-G-M-A. I jotted myself a little note or two because I knew that about this time it would be time to go. Pragma means that which has been done, a deed, accomplished fact. What is done or being accomplished. That which is or exists. It emphasizes a practice. Don't spend your time practicing things that are insignificant. As you live from day to day, there are certain things that have to be done. You have to make a living. You have to work. There are certain things that take your time. All of that's necessary. But keep something always primary in your mind. And that's your personal, individual relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll do that, if I'll do that, one of these days we're going to be gone from this life. And our lives will not be characterized by those things which are insignificant. The uncertainties of life generate instability. Don't emphasize those things which are so uncertain. Emphasize those things which are worthwhile and good and right. May we pray together, please. As we leave this place today, dear Lord, help us to practice what we preach. Help us to be aware of the fact that life at the longest is so short. And so while we're here, help us to major on the major things of life and minor on the minor things of life. Help us not to be guilty of majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. And for those who hear this message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, may they know that the most important thing they could do in life right now is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to realize the importance of presenting the fact that salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith alone in Christ alone. The one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me." We know that Jesus is the only way. We pray that there will be those who will trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.